Good morning, everybody. You know, I look out at this crowd here, and I look at all these seats, and the one thing I have to say is, wow. You know, I speak across the United States about cannabis security. I've never seen so many seats in my whole life at one show. So I guess everything is big in Texas. So my name is Tony Gallo. I am the senior consultant dealing mainly in the cannabis industry. I speak across the United States about cannabis security, but the one thing that I'm really excited about today is this is my first event in the state of Texas, which is my home state. Now, a couple of you may already guess by my accent that I was not born in the state of Texas, although I did get here as quickly as possible. But I've been in the state of Texas for about 20 years, lived mostly in Austin. I currently live in the Fort Worth area, and I have an office in Dallas. So before I start my presentation, quick question. Just a show of hands, how many people are currently in the cannabis industry, which means you actually sell a product to somebody? Very few of you. How many people here are thinking about getting in the cannabis industry? Phenomenal. Glad you're here. It's a great industry. I've been in the cannabis industry for 4 years. So in cannabis years, I am really an old timer, if you think about the cannabis industry and how condensed it's been. How many people are here because they think they might be able to get some free product? So I have really bad news for you. In all the conferences I've ever been to, they never give you a free product. But let's make the best of it. So let's get started. So let's talk a little bit about the cannabis industry, kind of give you a little idea of where the industry is. And it is an industry. It is definitely an industry. So in 2013, $5.8 billion of combined sales and value was in the cannabis industry. We're projecting in 2016 that it's going to be $14 billion industry. And if things go well and we get the right response from the government, it could possibly in 2019 be a $29 billion industry. So this is definitely an industry. This is not just something you do on the side. So let's talk a little bit about what marijuana and what cannabis is considered. So right now, and this is important to know, cannabis is considered by the government as a Schedule I drug, which means basically, if you read the three bullet points, it has no redeeming qualities, no redeeming benefit. It could be very addictive. It cannot be controlled. A lot of things that you'll learn as you are in the industry are not true. But it is a Schedule I drug. So as a Schedule I drug, that means that a lot of mainstream businesses, particularly banks, do not want a bank in this industry. Now, they have the right. I see it in other high-risk businesses that I deal with, pawn shops and tobacco, liquor stores. But that means that currently it's very difficult for you to get a bank account under a cannabis name, do credit card transactions, do debit card transactions. So what does that mean? That means that the majority of the business you will see in the cannabis industry, 70% of that will be cash, all right? And that is because they're still struggling to get the banking laws changed. So let's talk a little bit about knowing a little bit more about how the government thinks of it, what banks are doing, what your exposure is when it's cash. Let's talk a little bit about some security threats. We look at internal losses. The majority of your losses, unfortunately, in the cannabis industry are going to be internal. It just happens. It's the way it is. It's nothing different than any other retail business. A lot of times, like I said, I talk to clients across the United States about their security programs, and it's difficult for them to rationalize that it's a bud tender or someone working at the retail counter or someone stealing cash. But it doesn't make it any different than any other retail business. So your internal theft losses, obviously, are the cash. And it's the merchandise. One of your exposures, though, unlike a jewelry store, is if your merchandise is stolen, the government and law enforcement get very upset. So think of yourself like firearms. If you lose and you work and you own a retail bicycle store and you lose a bicycle, that's on you. You lost the bicycle and it's gone. If you lose a firearm, the government is not very happy about it. The law enforcement's not very happy about it. ATF's not very happy about it. Same thing with cannabis. If you have an employee who's stealing cannabis and selling on the street, that could come back to you much more harder than if you were running a jewelry store or a sweater store or something like that. And then obviously, being a retailer, where you have a large amount of cash and a very desirable piece of merchandise, you have armed robberies, you have break-ins, you have people that shoplift or try and steal things. And some of the things that come out in the news is, example, employee accused of making money on the side because he was selling in the black market. The news got a hold of that, and they made it and discussed it as a black eye to the marijuana industry. Other things in the news, $11,000 worth of cannabis was stolen from a medical marijuana facility. People who are thinking about stealing from you go, wow, $11,000, that's a lot better than I can get at a convenience store. Robbers took $100,000 in product, burglars, because that grow facility did not have adequate security. When you apply for a license, 20% of your application, because I write security applications across the United States, 20% of your application is graded on your security program. So right now I'm writing one for Alaska, and that is an important thing to keep in mind when you go and write your application, because every one of you will need a license, no matter what state you are, to do business in. The one thing, you know, I'm throwing a lot of information at you, and some of it is a little negative, and obviously as a security guy, there's not a lot of funniness that I can bring to the table. But one of the things that you have to keep in mind is, as a retail establishment, and you want to get involved in this as a retailer, if you're a grower or a cultivation center, you're a retailer, you sell to a client. If you're a dispensary, you're a retailer, you sell to a client. The retail industry, the cannabis industry, is not any worse than some other high-risk businesses. So I want to make sure that you understand that statistically, 4 years of looking at robberies, convenience stores get hit a lot more than a cannabis locations across the United States, pawn shops, so forth and so on. It's just something you need to be cognizant of. So let's talk about what needs to be in your security plan. Anyone who is going to get in this industry will have to have a security plan. So, the primary purpose of a security plan is to provide safe and secure environment, safeguard the grow or the production, and develop audit procedures. You may want to look at that, because that's probably $500 of my security plan out there right now that I'm talking about. And then we're going to look a little bit at some topics. Facility security, security surveillance, product security, policies and procedures. When you walk around this expo, you're going to see the Southwest Conference has done a great job bringing some great vendors here. There's a safe vendor here that has proven product out in the cannabis industry. There's other security vendors here that you can touch base with to kind of get an idea of what they can offer to you. So let's talk a little about facility security. So we're talking about a security floor plan, just like you would do in most other businesses. If you look at the security plan, one on the left is a dispensary. That's a security plan for a dispensary. The one on the right is a cultivation center, and the security that would need to be put, physical security, at that location. So part of your physical security is security surveillance. So let's look at some security surveillance. One of the things, obviously, that you would have to have in your facility is cameras. One of the requirements by most states is a pretty robust camera system. The type of camera that's going to be used, the recording of that, the video analytics. We take a lot from the casino industry when it comes to cameras. We take a lot from the pawn shop industry when it comes to cameras, jewelry store industry, high-risk businesses, firearm, so forth and so on. So one of the things you're going to need in your location is a robust camera system. It's important to understand where you want your cameras positioned. You want to view the cash. You want to view the cannabis. And important here is you want state compliance. So take a state like Washington State. Washington State requires you to have 7 cameras. They tell you where those 7 cameras should go. You need to make sure that those 7 cameras, that there are cameras covering those locations. And where you want to position it. Obviously, that's important, especially if you're going to be applying for a license. You want to position over the top. You want to make sure you have faces. And you want to be able to make sure that you can see the hands of the people. All of this is important when someone is reading your application and making a decision on whether you should get a license or the other 1,500 people that applied for a cannabis license should. Product security. We look at product security. One of the most important things are safes. One of the things I came on board 4 years ago was that the industry was not using the appropriate safe for the industry. A very important problem, because now those states that are currently using product, that are currently storing their product in a safe that is not going to be approved down the line, will have to go and reinvest and buy the right safe. So there are all different kinds of safes, and I really don't know that much about safes, but there is a booth in the corner that I see that does. Please stop by, ask them about the difference in safes. But I do know that there are safes that are rated, and one of the safes you would want to look for is a TL-rated safe. You do not want a gun safe. That was a big problem that came out in Colorado when they first started. People would go to Costco. People would go to one of the sports stores and buy a gun safe. Gun safe. What are gun safes good for? Gun safes are fabulous for guns. They're not fabulous for jewelry, gold, cannabis, or so forth. Why? Because a gun safe is designed to keep amateurs out from breaking into your house and stealing your guns. And more important, a gun safe is designed, and the interior of a gun safe is made out of sheetrock. Why is it made out of sheetrock and not the special concrete that's in a normal safe? Because it resists heat. And that's the main focus of a gun safe. So, in California currently right now, they are looking at changing their laws and their rules, and they're coming back and saying, possibly saying, that you have to have the right safe. So now all these state locations are going to have to now purchase new safes, possibly. So keeping in mind, you want a safe that's going to hold up under an attack, just like any other location would. You want a safe that is a safe and not something that is a storage box or a facility. You store your cannabis in a room that's lined with sheetrock, you're going to ask for some problems. You may want to consider a vault. These are vaults that are being built. A lot of grows, a lot of cultivation centers, they move more to vaults than they do to safes. Why? Because you can store a lot more. One of the misconceptions in a grow or a cultivation center is you need to protect your plant. You don't need to protect your plant that much. You need to protect your dry storage, where after the plant is dried and harvested and the buds are taken out and they're packaged, that's the room you really have to secure, more so than securing your plant. So keep in mind with vaults. Display cases, again, you hear about jewelry stores having smash and grabs. One just happened recently here in Dallas, where a jewelry store, someone came in and smashed it with a sledgehammer and took jewelry out. You may want to consider shatterproof glass in your cases. Additional security equipment. I'll give you some ideas of some things that are out there. There's many products out there. That's a backdoor system. You're going to require to have an alarm on your back door. You're going to have required to have an alarm system. Various access controls. The one thing in the top left corner is a virtual guard, which basically works kind of like, I consider like the Cylons from Battlestar Galactica. It shoots a light beam out, and anyone who enters that light beam, it triggers an alarm on that. So there are various systems of security that you would put in. That it shows the state that you are really interested and you really want that license. Again, once you get your license, once you do your build out, once you're ready to open your door, I've come across a lot of clients that at that point they go, now what do I do? Well, now you have to run a business. And in your business, you need policies and procedures. Procedures on how to store your cannabis. Procedures on how to sell your cannabis. How to dispose of your cannabis. A lot of people don't know how to dispose of your cannabis. You cannot put your cannabis in the trash. Do not listen to the trash man. He will. That is the wrong thing to do. Do not put your cannabis in the trash. And in the state of, I get my states mixed up, Illinois, the way you dispose of cannabis is that is no good any longer is you mix it with kitty litter. Go figure. That's what the state decided. Kitty litter. Someone must own a kitty litter shop in Illinois, I guess. So what's your security operation manual look like? What's your employee handbook look like? Do you have awareness from theft, culture of honesty programs? Do you have security training? Are your reviews, do you review? Do you have an audit procedure? Do you know who's going to various rooms and if they should be allowed to go into those rooms? You come across a lot of problems with bud tenders. Bud tenders, what's a bud tender? Bud tender is somebody, when the bud comes off of the plant, it's kind of ugly looking. The bud tender actually cuts the leaves off, and you'll have a row of people that will actually do that unless you buy one of the new machines that are out there. There's a bud terminator out there somewhere that I've seen. I thought it was pretty cool. So I'm going to talk about two of the many procedures. That's a robbery awareness and employee planning, just to give you a quick idea of what should be in your plan. I'll go over a little faster, and then if we have questions, we can open up to that. So let's talk about robbery awareness. What is a robbery? A robbery is when someone uses force to steal something from you. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, if someone cuts into your greenhouse and starts stealing your plants, that's not a robbery, that's a burglary. When someone comes into your location and pulls a gun and steals money from your register drawer, that's a robbery. Keep in mind, 87% of all retail armed robberies are not violent. So don't automatically go, oh my God, I'm going to be robbed every single day. No. And if you do, it's not a violent robbery. It's very much like, I call it a business transaction. I've dealt with over 2,000 armed robberies in my career. It's very difficult to tell someone that when they've been robbed. But if you think that way, sometimes it helps. So what do you do? Typical robberies, cash. Robber comes in. He's in there for 60 seconds. He wants cash. What do you do? Give him the cash. Skim the cash. Let him go. That's why you have insurance. Next one is a product robbery. This is a dispensary that was robbed. They're in there a little longer, about 3 minutes. And what are they looking for? Mainly the cannabis. They'll take the cash. They'll always want the cash. But they'll be in there, and they're looking more for the cannabis. And then the key thing is you want to get them out. Robber's desire is to come in, take something from you, and leave. They're not there to stay longer. They're not there to hurt you. They're not there to be more violent. They want to come in. They want to get something. They want to leave. Help them leave, which means that you want to have your door access system that allows them to leave the facility. Unfortunately, I've had a situation in one of my cannabis locations where the robber was more than pleased to leave, but he couldn't get out. And that was not a good scenario to have. So again, why do you want them out? Because as the level of time they're in the store continues, the level of violence, the level of losses can rise. So it's important to have a procedure in place, to train your employees, to get them in, get them out as quickly as possible. So let's talk a little bit about emergencies. Again, I picked just two highlights out of a whole security plan. You need to prepare for emergencies. Why? Because 60% of all businesses are not ready for emergencies, because the state wants you to be prepared for emergencies, because you want to stay in business after you had an emergency. Whether that's a power outage, a flood. Think about a cultivation center or a grow. What happens if you lose the power? What happens to your plants? How do they respond? What happens if they're not getting water? What happens if they don't get the adequate light? What happens if there's a flood or a fire or there's a civil disturbance? How do you protect your product? How do you secure it? I mentioned vaults, I mentioned safes. Those are some of the ways you can protect your product in an emergency situation. One of the things we do is a risk assessment. I won't go over this, just kind of give you an idea of what a risk assessment looks like. We look at the hazard, we identify that hazard, your vulnerability, what can you do about that, what's your vulnerability, and then what can you do to prevent it from happening in the future. It's important to have those components in place. Again, it shows the state, it shows the city, it shows people that want to shop or come to your location that you are really interested in the business and you want it. You could spend $20,000 for an application and not get the application because you spent $20,000, you should have spent $40,000 or whatever that magic number is. And I have pointed that out to people, is if you're not going to invest in the business and do it right, then don't waste your money. Go and do something else. So what's your biggest challenge? I mentioned before, employee theft. You know, article that just came up recently in California, armed robbers terrified the employees. They went and they robbed a dispensary in Southern California, and lo and behold, one of the robbers was the coworker who had just left 10 minutes prior to the robbery, which I don't think is the smartest coworker in the world, but he did know the security of that location, and he was able to give some input to other people to help him in that robbery. 95% of all businesses experience some form of internal theft. 80% of the marijuana industry has that problem when it comes to internal theft. And 33% of all businesses actually go bankrupt because of internal theft. So when you're looking at your location, obviously, you want to trust your employees. Obviously, you want to trust the people that work there, whether they're family members or whether they're close friends or relatives, by the way, which is my highest losses that do come from that. But the one thing you always want to do is don't set up a scenario that allows people to steal from you. And that's important to keep that in the back of your mind. So we look at a culture of honesty, which is what I refer to that. You want a culture where you have expressed by good hiring, well-defined policies, open communication, you want to remove the opportunity, and you want zero tolerance, that you're all in it together, that you're working together, that you're a team, and that the team doesn't steal from each other or doesn't steal from the company, that you want to make sure that nothing will be tolerated when it comes to that. You know, I talk to people and they go, well, as long as they don't steal too much marijuana, I'm okay with that. Well, that's not a good philosophy to have, because they are going to steal too much marijuana, and then everyone else is going to steal too much marijuana, and then you're going to be closing your doors. So, what do I do to reduce my risk? Awareness is the key. Many of the solutions that are out there were developed to address these problems come from other industries. So, don't think that you're that unique. We do not have to recreate the wheel. The camera systems, the safe systems. There's a safe here right now that came, it's designed specifically for the cannabis industry. But it came, its parents came from the pawn shop industry. So you can learn from that. There are camera companies out there that started in another industry, and the jewelry industry or the pawn industry or the alcohol industry, and they have grown into coming into the cannabis industry and offering you products that have been proven out there. So keep that in mind. We're not doing anything that's that unique. We're selling a very desirable product, and we're taking in a lot of cash. So how do you control the behavior at your site when you're not out there is a question you need to ask yourself, because you're not going to be there all the time. Who do you trust? Who do you rely on? Who's going to be your backup? Who's going to be your eyes and ears? Do you have a camera system that you're able to see off of your phone? Most systems have that now. Do you have a checks and balances when it comes to access control? If they open up a particular door, are you alerted that that door opened and wonder why would that door open, especially if your mother plants are in there or your R&D is in there and it's 11 o'clock at night? Or someone gets access into your building. How do you prevent something from happening? How do you detect something from happening? Again, all of that is something that has to be taken into consideration when you're going into this industry. So, a couple things. keep in mind, your security does not have to be the best in the world. That is actually a camera system in a location. Those on the left, that is way too many cameras, in my opinion. I think that that does not send a message that there's a lot of security there. That sends a message that the guy owns a camera store somewhere, and he puts cameras up on every single pole. The other thing during your reviews, as you continue to expand, more important, very much in a cultivation or a grow facility, especially when you're changing your racks out or your plants, is what are your cameras still looking at? This camera was perfect at one time until they put the monitor up in front of it. Now the camera has a really good view of the monitor behind it. But same thing with your grow, your cultivation, even your dispensary. If you move your racks, if you move your product, if you move your plants, if you're moving your dry storage, is your camera system that was perfect when you opened, is your camera system now there to help you, or is it now looking at a corner that there's nothing there any longer? And then the last thing is I did a site review. This was a chain on the back door, a back gate of a facility. If you can see that chain, it's connected by a zip tie, a plastic tie. I spoke to the owner and said, you realize that you have a really good lock, but the chain is connected with a piece of plastic, much like you would get out of a bread bag or something. And his answer to me really was, well, it's a really good lock. And I said, yes, it's a really good lock, but it really isn't providing the security that you're needed. So obviously that's important. I went through a lot of things. I went through real fast because I like to open up for questions for the last 5 minutes or so. But here are some of my final thoughts, my takeaway for you as you go out there in this industry. And like I said, it's a great industry. My clients across the United States love what they do, love how they help people, love their how they grow. I'm trying to talk someone into pulling a strand after me, the Gallo strand or something like that. But they love what they produce. They love what they can do at dispensaries and how they can help people. So here's my final thoughts, my takeaway for you. Your challenges are not unique. So you're getting in this industry, there are challenges, but it's not like we're going to, when it comes to security, we're going to make a lot of changes. We can learn from other industries. Your risk is shared by other high-risk businesses, which is great because there we can know what works and what doesn't work. And you got to keep security in the back of your mind. I mean, obviously, that's not what you're there to do, but you have to keep it in the back of your mind and act and look at your programs and change your programs as you go on. So how will you protect your business? This is a dispensary in Oregon. The owner of the dispensary had a really nice door with a great lock and stored his cannabis in that location, except he forgot that he had a sheetrock wall next to that very expensive door, very expensive lock, and $40,000 worth of product later, he realized that maybe he could have learned a few things from other security programs. So I'm going to open it up to some questions. If there's any questions, I can answer now. How are you working questions? Are we handing out mics or? Okay. So is there any questions, first of all, that does anyone have? Okay. You have a question?
Is it necessary to have a security person there 24/7, or when you're opening up, how do they work that out?
So our question is, should you have a security guard or uniform person at your grow or your dispensary? So here's my thought process when it comes to guards. I think that there's value in the guards. What I think, though, that the value of those guards are more from a customer service point of view. So if you go to Colorado, you'll see guards usually at a dispensary. But what they're doing is checking ID. Most dispensaries will require you to check ID. So if you're going to utilize a guard, that's really the main focus of it. In a grow facility, The value of a guard really might be at night or when you're closed. But keep in mind, if you have a vault scenario in your grow facility and there's not a lot to steal from your grow facility, you may be better investing in that kind of security than bringing in a guard. But I see guards in the cannabis industry more in a customer service value than a loss prevention value. Does that make sense? Okay. Any other questions? A good question. Yes. Hold on. She's going to bring the mic.
I have a question about insurance premiums. Are they going up due to the increase in theft internally of these businesses?
That's a great question. So is insurance premiums rising as losses in the cannabis industry increase? The answer to that really is no. Insurance premiums actually are coming down. A couple of reasons why. There are, remember I told you about the Schedule I drug that the government says it's illegal federally for you to sell or be involved in the cannabis industry. But if you are, and the state approves it, as long as you follow certain rules, we're not going to do anything to you, but we could do something to you. So if you're Wells Fargo, you go, well, that's not really good enough for me, or Bank of America, or Lloyd's of London, or someone, a large insurance company. But there are insurance companies across the world. The largest one is out of Germany that provide insurance. In the cannabis industry, there are some good companies out there. I don't know if there's any here. I know of Next Wave is a great insurance company. But anyway, the reason why they're coming down is insurance companies, just like any other location, alcohol, tobacco, or firearms, they're putting more security measures in place to keep those claims down. In turn, they can give you more of a savings. Good question.
Hi, Tony. My name is Al. I'm in the security business primarily with financial institutions. And when we have a robbery or a theft, we are aided by a tremendous amount of federal resources. You can steal 10 bucks from a bank and they will come after you with a helicopter. But we find with our pawn shop customers and whatnot, when there is a theft, the only law enforcement resources that are available would be the local PDs and the like. What type of law enforcement response can the cannabis industry expect? Is it local? Is it state? Is it federal?
So the question was, what kind of help from law enforcement would you receive if you did have an incident, a robbery, a break-in, a burglary? You will pretty much fall under the pawn shop kind of rules, which basically is you'll have limited assistance. The federal government does not assist you if you were robbed. Local law enforcement would handle it as a normal retail robbery. Some are better than others, depending on what state you are in and how much response they'll give you. So in a lot of ways, not to scare you, but you're on your own in a cultivation or in a dispensary, but so are other industries. So it's not like you're unique and targeted, but you will only receive limited help. Depending on some local police departments, they may give you more than limited help, but you will not receive FBI help or ATF help or anyone like that. They may come and do an audit of you or something, but you're not going to receive help like that. Question over here.
Yeah, I was wondering what are some steps you can take to prevent surveillance from being erased in the case of a robbery?
So the surveillance video to be erased?
Yes.
So most states require you to keep up to 40 days of video. It's in your plan and your design. That is a requirement. Most states require that you allow the local authorities or an organization. Washington has a cannabis group that allow them access to your video 24 hours a day. Some states are different. In the state of Washington, your camera system has to be able to view every single place that cannabis could possibly be. So if you have a stairwell, there needs to be a camera underneath the stairwell. If you have a pole like that, it has to be on all four sides of the pole. New Mexico is a lot lenient when it comes to that, so forth and so on. So one of the things that we always recommend that there's some sort of cloud-based storage where you're not only storing your video, some cameras that I've put in actually have a video chip that stores video at the camera. I store video at the DVR, NVR system at the location, and I also stream to the cloud. Yes.
Hi there.
Sorry.
I'm sorry if you already touched upon this. I came in late. But what's a common mistake as far as for mobile transportation? I know the guidelines state that if you have a vehicle and the product needs to be transported, any common mistakes or things you can suggest for mobile?
Excellent question. Question was, what do you do with mobile transportation? Some states allow you to take a product from a dispensary or a firm and grow, bring it actually to the customer. California is one of those states that allow you to do that. So, like I said, I steal with honor, as I call it. I take from other industries. What other industry delivers a product to your house and gets cash in return? Anyone? Pizza, very good. Pizza industry has great policies and procedures when it comes to that. So in the cannabis industry, one of the things we do is we all install some sort of locking mechanism, a small safe with a drop box in it. Individual will then transport cannabis, have access to another section of the safe or to another storage facility in that vehicle. They then go to the location, they deliver the product, they bring the cash, they package the cash, they put the cash in the drop box, they do not have access to the cash. Pizza. Think pizza next time. And pizza and cannabis go hand in hand in a lot of ways. Yes?
Do we know what our state agencies in Texas will be regulating the industry and maintaining compliance?
So, good question, young man. So, the agencies right now are still in flux because of what's coming out. Agencies, I've seen the change. DPS is involved at Texas, but you don't rely on that particular agency. If you're in Washington State, you'll see that they've changed agencies 2 or 3 times. So it's going to be a state agency. I like the Liquor Board when they're involved because the Liquor Board kind of gets it. But it could be an ag agency that gets involved. It could be whoever's got nothing going on. Florida right now, they don't have laws particular, but they're confused on who it should be. So DPS is involved right now, but don't hang your hat at the end of the day. I believe Texas, I haven't done any applications in Texas because I think there are 3 grows and 5 dispensaries, if I'm not mistaken, are on slated in 2017, which will continue as the industry continues. And I think that's still being run out of DPS. Yes.
How you doing?
Good.
Have they got any guidelines on armed security?
Armed security?
Yeah.
So, armed security nationwide. Keep this in mind when it comes to armed security. There's a law in the books that says if you use a firearm during the commission of a crime, that is a federal offense, which means that if you are a heroin dealer or a drug dealer, and you get into a gun battle with somebody, you have used a weapon during the commission of a crime, just like a robbery would be. So, firearms in a cannabis location, it's federally against the law because it's federally against the law to use a firearm. You could actually be arrested for being an armed guard and discharging your weapon in a cannabis location, federally, during the commission of a robbery because you are involved and during a commission of a crime. So it's kind of gray. They have not done that yet federally, but they can do that federally. So you need to be careful when you deal with an armed guard agency, and there's some great ones out there, especially in the grow facilities, that is understood and that you understand what their insurance will cover or will not cover. Does that answer your question? Yes.
Yeah, I actually went to Oaksterdam, and they went a little bit over this subject that we're talking about right now, and they were saying that if you employ, like, if you get security guards from another company that already trains their security guards just for specific purposes, then that kind of takes the liability away from you. Is that true, or is that like?
So the question is, if you hire an outside guard agency to service your location, will it take the liability away from you? The answer to that is no. It doesn't take the liability away from you. It may help you in court. It may help you if you're being sued. But if you had a guard at your location, and it's from an outside guard agency, and that guard does anything, wrestles the person, maces them, pulls a gun, or whatever, in that lawsuit, you will be named. Now, you will have to defend that. And how you defend that obviously comes back from what your insurance guidelines will tell you. So keep that in mind, that using an outside guard agency could help, but it's not going to get you out of your lawsuit. One more question? Any more? Well, thank you very much. Have a great show. This looks like a great conference. And if anyone wants to talk to me more, I will be over at booth 210. Thank you very much.